Good Sabbath, everyone, brothers and sisters. Good Sabbath. Happy Sabbath to everyone. So today we will be without, just so we could make good time, we will continue with where we left off. This is part two of our review of the appointed times of Elohim, the Moedim of the Moedim of Elohim. Hold on one second, brethren. So what we saw last Sabbath, a quick review, is we looked at the how Elohim established the work days of the week from day one to day six for working, and the best time to work is in the day and rest at night. Then, and that's the Maaseh Yom Shavuah, the work days of the week. Then we saw the continual, the appointed time of the daily or continual offering, which is the Tamid Olah, which has to do with two sacrifices of the day. And we saw that, today we don't offer sacrifices, bloody sacrifices. We do not offer Zabayim, but we rather offer sacrifices of praise, sacrifices of a righteous, holy mind and heart and body. And we saw also the first month of the year, the Hodesh Rishon Shana, the first month of the year, which begins at the end of winter, and it is marked by the day in which daytime and nighttime are equal. So the year ends, the year ends on the day that daytime and nighttime are equal, and the following day starts the new month of the year. Okay? We saw also the seasonal cycles, the tekufot, which are the first day of the first month. Which leads the first day of the first month heading each of our four seasons, that is spring, summer, fall, and winter. And just a clarification, they are the intermediary between seasons. So they don't actually start the season, but they are the day before the season. Just like evening is between day and night. So these tekufot are between the seasons. Like when spring ends, there is a day between spring and summer. So that would be our tekufot. And anyone could correct me in that if I didn't say that correctly. So the four tekufot are spring, chayitz, summer, stav, autumn, koreth, winter. Then, of course, we have our famous, well-known seventh-day Sabbath, Yom Shabbat, Shvi, which is the seventh day that we are to, which begins from sunrise to sunset. Okay? And if you have, we're wondering why we didn't say Friday night, you can go on online and look our study on the that days of the week starts at sunrise. Then we have the lamb inspection. We went over the lamb inspection and selection, which is on the which begins on the 10th day of Aviv and ends on the 14th day until evening. So that's the time where the lambs are inspected. And on the 14th day, the lamb is prepared and slaughtered for the Passover in the ancient covenant time. Not in this covenant, but we observe the time and prepare for Passover. Then we have on the 14th day, the last day itself of that preparation is called the Day of Unleavened Bread, seen in commonly used in New Testament times. Day of Unleavened Bread which is not the first day of unleavened bread, which is actually the last day to get leaven out of your house. That's also the last day when the Passover lamb is killed. That happens on the 14th of Aviv from morning to evening. And then we have Passover, Pesach, which starts at the evening, nighttime of the 14th of Aviv. So all these things that I've mentioned, the lamb inspection and Passover, all these are happening on the on during Aviv. Then we covered the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Hag HaMatzah. Now that is the first day of unleavened. It starts well with the first day of unleavened bread, which begins on the 15th of Aviv, the day after Passover, and ends on the 21st of Aviv. Okay, and so we covered that. Then we looked at first fruits, the wave sheaf, Yom HaBikurim. All right, and I believe this is where we continue, where we will continue our teaching. So we stopped at the day of unleavened bread last Sabbath. So today we will continue with the first fruits wave sheaf, Yom HaBikurim, which is a very important day and time. All of them are important. The reason I'm stressing is because it's so neglected. Even in Old Testament, not Old Testament, the early church time, that particular holy day was that not holy day, appointed time was neglected, where even the ancient congregation, New Testament congregation, had to remind the brethren that it's not only the seventh day Sabbath that should be observed, but they have to they should gather also on first fruits. Why? Because first fruits was the time of the resurrection. I know there are some differences. There might be differences of opinion, but per the Bible facts, per the facts that are outlined in the Bible, so many of them, that's what, per the Bible, that's when the resurrection took place. It did not happen on the evening of the Sabbath, as I used to believe that too. I used to believe he rose the night, Saturday night after Sabbath. He actually, per the Bible facts, he would have risen Sunday, what's called Sunday morning, or on the at dawn, just after night, just after the night ends, he would have resurrected. That would have been his last night in the tomb. And he rose as the first, the true first fruits, wave sheaf. It's so it says it is offered annually in honor, it was offered annually in honor of Elohim's acceptance of his people on the first day of the week, following the last day of unleavened bread. So when the last day of unleavened bread ends, which would have been on the 21st of Aviv, that following first day of the week, or which called Sunday, would have been the first fruits wave sheaf, Yom HaBikurim. So it was offered annually in honor of Elohim's acceptance of his people on the first day of the week following the last day of unleavened bread. So today we honor Elohim for accepting us through Yeshua, with the offerings, by his resurrection, and he ascended, as we see, in John chapter 20, verses 15 to 17. I'll turn to that, but first, quick, stop at Leviticus 23 to look at that portion about first fruits. So let me turn there. Okay, so Leviticus chapter 23, verses 9 says, "And the Eternal spoke to Moses, saying," verse 10, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you and reap its harvest, You shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Eternal, so that you may be accepted. You see that, brethren? That's the purpose, so that you may be accepted. Without that, there's no acceptance. People don't understand that. It's almost similar to the Day of Atonement feast, which is like the book and cleansing feast. Holy day, appointed time, where the sins are atoned for. Who are the sins? Who get their sins atoned for? Those that were accepted 7 months before, right? So he shall wave the sheaf before the Eternal so that you may be accepted. It's a very important celebration. And so I don't forget, it's also the time that they were commanded to bring their offerings, their tithes, their offerings, their free will offerings. That's when they would do that. Okay? So what we should be doing as a congregation, and this is because we do not yet have an appointed spirit-empowered leader, so to say, so we do not collect any money, because that's something that the spirit-led person would know what to do with. You know, we're just brethren gathering together. Not to say I don't have the spirit, or that I have this, or any of us do or don't. That's not the point. But Elohim has yet to select one for us, like an overseer. And this is why you never hear this congregation will never talk about money, because we need a person who is filled with the power of the Spirit for this type of thing. And only Elohim can select this type of leadership. No man can, unless that man or woman happens to be an evident prophet themselves or prophetess. Because whoever's going to select leadership must be done by the evidence of the Spirit. So it's either done by Elohim through his Son and Spirit, and you will know who that person is a leader by their gift of prophecy, by their very effectual prayer, by their outstanding, unfailing lifestyle. It won't be hard. When you don't see these things, you know that person is not a leader. If I would ever come to you and say, hey, I'm the leader of this group, just look for my works. See if I, when I pray, do people get immediately healed? See if I have the gift of prophecy. See if my lifestyle is consistent. And I tell you the truth, I don't qualify. All right. I think by his mercy, he has really cleansed me, and I'm doing pretty well for a person spiritually. I cannot deny that, but I'm by no means a leader. So the whole point being, this is why we don't collect. I will never collect money, never. And even if somebody offered it to me, I cannot accept it. But at the same time, what we can do, though, this I have through prayer, and he has given, is that each individually we can set aside that money, even though we don't give it to a particular group, but we can set it aside for his work. Okay, maybe because that money was usually used to give to the poor among the community. When I say community, the community of believers, not the world. It doesn't mean that if someone in the world comes and asks you for some money, and you see it's a good thing, and you're sure it's safe to do that, you don't do it. No, it's okay to do that as long as you know the person's not going to do it for evil. But the monies that are collected are to be used for the work of Elohim. So you could set aside some of your money and use it for ministerial purposes. Like, let's say you wanted to buy something to serve Elohim for. You could use some of that money to do that. Let's say you wanted to prepare for Passover or any of the holy days, or for do something special on Sabbath. You could use some of that set apart money devoted money for that cause. We could talk about that another time, but the first fruits was the time that these things were done. And the first fruits, the first one happens in Aviv, right? After Passover. But it's not the only one. There are, I think, about three others. Okay? Actually, there are actually more in the scriptures, because it has to do with offering the first of your produce, your first of your game, unlike the tithes. See? And the first fruits can't be changed for anything. First fruits is first fruits, blemish or not. It's going to, but you offer the best of it. You offer the best. I take the blemish or not part out. That's error. But you offer the best of your first fruits. Let's see, what else can I say about this? So let's look at John chapter 20, verse 15, about it, because it's so that we might be accepted of Elohim. Not just, so the children of Israel in ancient time, they were redeemed during Passover. They were saved by the strong hand, delivered, brought out of Egypt by the strong hand. And when they entered the land, owning it, it's not when Joshua first stepped into the land and was planning to attack Jericho. No, they did not yet possess the land. The command is when you possess the land. So whenever that time was that they possessed the land, when spring came after Passover, they were to first offer that fruit. That's why the language is so ambiguous. It's about the time when you put in the sickle. See, it doesn't give you an exact time, because it didn't happen yet when those words were being written. It was something that would happen many years later. Okay? Then they would actually do it when, after they possessed the land, after they planted and then harvested the crops, they were to offer the first fruits to the eternal. So John chapter 20, verse 15 to 17. This is why the resurrection happened on the day that it did, and why and how and why we are saved. So it says in John chapter, cutting just for context, this is not on the first day of the week, or on the first of the first towards the Sabbath, as the literal translation says, or the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, and saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the others, right? So we know this is the resurrection account. Now, jumping down to my notes are so tiny here. Yes, verse 15 says, and Yeshua said to her, John chapter 20, verse 15 says, and Yeshua said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Supposing him to be the gardener. She said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Yeshua said to her, Miriam, or in the English Mary, or in the Aramaic Maria. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. And Yeshua said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them. Notice how he said, I have not yet ascended to the Father. But then he makes that uniting, clear statement of oneness, of acceptance, and says, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my Elohim and your Elohim. This is the binding acceptance statement. He clearly tells her he's going to the Father. And she immediately discerned, understood what that meant. But then he now says, my Father, your Elohim, my Elohim. So he's ascending as the first of the first fruits for our acceptance. A little digression here. To give evidence of what day this is, let's look and see some of the details tells us, because we know the tomb was owned by Joseph of Arimathea. We know he was a devout man, and we know this is in just a little outside of Jerusalem. No, this is within Jerusalem. He was crucified outside of Jerusalem, but he was buried in Jerusalem with the righteous, as the scripture says, he made his grave, right? So we know Joseph of Arimathea was a righteous and devout man and became a believer. So notice there's a gardener there. She thought, supposing him to be the gardener, if this were just for thought, because some think this is the Sabbath day. If this is the Sabbath day this is happening, why is there a gardener there? Okay, why would she think there's a gardener there? Second, if this was the seventh day and she was a devout believer, she was of Messiah Yeshua, why would she come on the Sabbath day expecting somebody to roll that huge stone away? Because she was surprised to see that the stone was rolled away. So these are hints to tell us, you know, these devout people wouldn't be engaged in certain things on the Sabbath day. But look at the full, I'm just, again, these are the Bible facts that I'm saying that when you put them all together, lets us know what day this was. And Yeshua is the real first fruits. And when his resurrection took place, it took place on that day. Okay, so I spent a lot of time on that one. Let's move on. So from that day, so the next celebration is the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, or Pentecost. Pentecost is the 50th day itself. But the intent of Elohim is not to just focus on the 50th day. His intent is for us to focus on seven Sabbaths leading to the 50th day, and then focus and then celebrate the Sabbaths on that 50th day, that first day, another first day of the week feast. So let's say today was that Sunday, first of the week, where we offered the first fruits, where Messiah was resurrected. The following, we would start counting for the Feast of Weeks, for the Shavuot, the next Sabbath. So the next Sabbath would have been the first, then the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh Sabbath. And after the seventh Sabbath would be the first day of the week, and it would be the Shavuot, the Hag Shavuot. It would be the feast of the Sabbath, okay? But it's celebrated on the first day of the week, just like you have Passover is on the 14th, but the feast of Passover begins the day after Passover itself. So this is why people gotta understand, in Elohim, there are no conflicts between the days. The days work together, all together in holiness for his purposes. It is the great whore and her daughters, you know, what religious organizations I'm speaking about, that have that conflict. We must be careful not to let ourselves be drawn into that conflict, because it is a conflict between the unjust and the unjust. We don't need to try to correct those things between the unjust. We need to make sure we understand righteousness and that we honor Elohim for all the days from day one to day seven. They're all set apart for specific reasons. The Feast of First Fruit is a set-apart day. The Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, is a set-apart day. You understand? Every day has its appointed times. The offering of the morning, the offering of the evening. So the adversary for those who are perishing creates the confusion. Let's not be drawn into that confusion. Okay? So Shavuot is an annual solemn assembly to honor Elohim for that's what it was for his agricultural blessings and providence on the seventh first day of the 50th or 50th day from the wave sheaf. So today we assemble to honor Elohim in Messiah Yeshua for uniting and empowering us to serve him by his Holy Spirit. So some references are Leviticus 23:21, again, John 20, verse 22, and Acts 2, verses 1 to 4. There are others, but we'll go here. So I will conclude here and to allow time for our the next speaker. But we will try to, I will do my best to finish this. We have a few more to go. Finish this next Sabbath. And I will take questions you may have during the sharing time, okay? Thank you very much. Do not hesitate to ask questions if you have doubts and need clarification with these things. So thank you very much. Until next time, dear brethren.